Good morning. Happy Easter. He is risen. He is risen indeed. The announcement that I have for you this morning is that today's offering will be for a ministry that the member care team is starting that will go to help members of our congregation. You've heard of community assistance. You know of the work that happens there. The offering today will go for a special fund that will help members who have need. So I encourage you to contemplate and pray about that as we come to that time in the service. Let us open in prayer. Oh, sorry. We have one more announcement. Gabe, would you like to make that announcement for us?
Inside of your bulletin this morning, you received a very small postcard for your refrigerator or to give to a neighbor. This year, we have the privilege of again offering a free concert for our community. It is called the John and Hazel Curry Memorial Concert. It will be on May 17th. And we have the privilege of hosting the gospel choir from Southfield UMC's Hope UMC Church. So I encourage you to come. It is going to be an amazing event. And it's free for the community, no love offering. This is something that we are doing as a gift for you. So please put this on your calendars, bring your friends. If you're looking for something fun to do with a mom in your life, this is a great event for moms also. It falls near Mother's Day. Thank you.
All right. If there are no other announcements, let us open in prayer this morning. God, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for this day and that we get to worship as the sun rises this morning. Lord, we thank you that you are here with us and that you are fully present. We have your full attention. Lord, we pray that this worship would be pleasing to you and glorifying to you. And Lord, we just thank you so much for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I invite you to stand as we begin our opening hymn together. Christ the Lord is risen today.
Lives again, the glorious King, hallelujah.
Turn and extend the peace of Christ to one another. Will you turn and greet one another this morning?
Would you please join in the responsive reading? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever.
Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever.
The Lord is
my strength, become my salvation. There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly.
I shall not die, but I shall live
and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not give me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Christ is
risen. Let us contemplate this beautiful gift as we read our scripture this morning. Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women who with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the word of God for the people of God. Why do you look for the living among the dead? I don't know about you, but I don't like watching a movie or reading a book that starts where the story ends and backtracks to explore how the characters have made it to that point. Because this insinuates that conflict has occurred to such a degree that the story of how did we get here is just as worthy of telling as the starting point of the narrative. The suspense is too much for me. That's why they call it a climax, an event best understood in the context of the inciting incidents. Because the anticipation of what is to come slowly builds over time. Stories told in this way hold a heaviness, a large sense of foreboding. Yet, we watch these movies and read these books anyway because we're drawn in. Our hearts and our minds are engaged, invested in who the characters are and how our story relates to theirs. Because all stories, whether fiction or not, somehow relate to our own. The surreal collides with reality because at the core of every story told on earth are those things which point us back to that which we were created for, to worship God in spirit and truth, to be whole in the holiness of the triune God, and to never stop growing in the knowledge of and the love of God. This ache for the Garden of Eden plays out on countless pages and screens in search of the peace that comes with being known. It has come. It's finally here. Today is the day that we have been waiting for, anticipating and preparing ourselves for week after week in the season of Lent. It's Easter Sunday, the day that we celebrate that our God lives. Christ has risen from the dead, and the grave does not have the final word. With four accounts of the good news of Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, come four accounts of resurrection, each with different details. Luke's gospel is the only one that asks a question from the angels. Why do you look for the living among the dead? As other gospels do, the angels remind Mary and the others of what they have heard and instruct the women to go tell the disciples. Last week, we finished up our sermon series on the purpose-driven life, and I preached from Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. I made the point about how Jesus coming ushered in a new order, a new reality, because his identity was largely connected to his purpose. And the nuance of the scripture in Isaiah 66, verse 1 and verse 2, in the hands of the living God, painted a whole new picture of what it means to be free indeed. Today, we pick up at the end of Luke, the very last chapter, for our celebration of the resurrection. The beauty of Scripture, because it is God-breathed and inspired, even though written down by human hands, is that it is inexhaustible. No matter how many times we read it, no matter how many times we study it, no matter how many times we preach it, there is always something new to learn and to glean, to teach and reflect on. The one detail that never changes is what is proclaimed. The gospel message, the good news. That's why looking at each account, both individually and side by side, is important. There are many similarities, but small details that are different, because the writers are different, and because each of them has something they would like to say. In each gospel, the women are reminded that Jesus has risen, just as he said. But Luke adds this question that the angels ask: why do you look for the living among the dead? To understand the context of this question, we can look back on the story thus far and see that although Jesus had set his face towards Jerusalem, rode very deliberately into the city on the donkey, went to trial, and through crucifixion, this question has more to do with who Jesus is than anything else. That is not to say that we should not pay attention to the surface of the question, because Jesus is alive, and the disciples did go to a place of tombs. However, the angels remind the women that Jesus was raised, just as he said, meaning that we can look back to understand how we got to this point, as if we were watching a movie or reading a book that begins at the end and works its way back to the start. It's sort of what we might call a full circle ending. A story starts in one place and ends in the same place. Not because the story hasn't progressed or changed over time, but because that is the end to which it was always progressing towards. Merriam-Webster's dictionary puts it this way: coming full circle through a series of developments that lead back to the original source, position, or situation, or a complete reversal of the original position. Today, we celebrate the resurrection of Christ by turning to the last chapter, the climax of the life of God in the flesh, because that is why he came in the first place. This is the original position, and God is the original source. Luke tells us in the very beginning that Jesus would be born to save his people from their sins. Many would rise and fall in Israel because of him. And a sword would pierce Mary's soul too. Every decision that Jesus ever made as he walked, talked, ate, and drank with the world that was his own, the world that he created, led to this moment with the women at the tomb. The stone rolled away, no body to be found, and two men who say, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to the hands of sinners and be crucified, and on the third day, rise again." As the terrified women bowed their faces to the ground. Every single thing that Jesus did led him here, and he knew it would. The Spirit of the Lord that led him into the wilderness for 40 days also led him to his public ministry, to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That same Spirit led him to the cross that would lead to the empty tomb. The women didn't know it, but Jesus did. Jesus knew, and he did it for them. He did it for us, and he did it for the children who will be. And so the angels asked the question, why do you look for the living among the dead? Because Jesus had prepared them all along for this moment, knowing their grief on that Easter morning. The first Easter, which we celebrate again every Sunday as we come to worship together in community. Sundays are a mini version of Easter. That's why worship is a celebration to participate in, not a performance that we watch as spectators or experience outside of being called and invited in. Last week, we talked about the mission of God and how we have the privilege of being a part of it, of partnering with God in the work that he is already doing. We get to. We know the one who was, who is, and is to come again. We know the story through and through because we know that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Even if there happens to be someone here who is new, who has never heard the story at all, you've come at a perfect time. And I invite you to start right where you are, because the story keeps going and going with us. Jesus is alive, and he is risen. He is not among the dead. And the story lives on because the life that we have because of Jesus Christ. Even as we live and breathe, we do it because the life of God is within us. In him we live and we move and we have our being. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. As Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 21 through chapter 6, verse 4. So that just as sin reigned in death, so grace might also reign through justification, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may increase? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, so that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. What I'm getting at here is our part in the story. The resurrection is not just something to be believed or celebrated. It is to be lived out in the joy of beauty, goodness, and truth. Paul goes on to say in chapter 6, verses 5 through 11 in Romans, for if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be destroyed, so that we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Paul wrote his letter to the Romans many years after the women went to the tomb on that first Easter morning, saw it empty, and met the angels who said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He has risen just as he said." I can only imagine what Peter must have been thinking when he first heard the news and ran to see it for himself. The women remembered the words of Jesus after meeting with the angels, and they rejoiced because God is who he says he is. Their story is our story. How will we respond? How will we respond as individuals? How will we respond in our families? And how will we respond as a congregation? I want to challenge you this morning to look alive. Look alive. Look for the living, the loving, the laughter, the joy. Look for the hard places to enter in and sit. Sit with those who mourn and say nothing. The hope we have is alive, and it should shock us back to life. We don't just get to work with God's mission, we get to live God's life, doing God's mission. He invites us in because those who love God and accept Jesus as the Savior are already his, and he is ours. And the story starts and ends there. We get to choose. Are we going to say yes to God? Yes to the source of all that is good, beautiful, and true? Are we going to look for the living among the dead? Or are we going to partner with God to raise the dead to life? No matter where you are in your faith journey, there is a place for you to enter into the story of God in the flesh, because he came for you and he came for me, so that we look more like him because we've gotten to know him and love him more. I'd like to close my sermon by reading the last stanza of a hymn that you may or may not know, called the Hymn of Promise. It's in 707 in the hymn book. It's one of my favorites because it reminds me of the joy that it is to be a part of God's story, to look alive so that others can see Jesus. Because we know the end of the story. And he is always good. Whatever may come along the way, the ending is sure to be beautiful. And we get to be a part of that. What joy. Look alive. Look alive. Look for ways to invite others into the life of Christ. The promise is sure, friends. The victory that was promised has been won. The last verse of the Hymn of Promise goes like this: "May it give you hope and life and peace." As it reminds us to look alive because of the goodness of our God and his faithfulness to us. Because Jesus Christ has risen and the grave does not have the final say. The verse begins like this: "In our end is our beginning, in our time, infinity. In our doubt, there is believing. In our life, eternity. In our death, our resurrection, at the last, a victory, unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I invite you to stand as we sing a hymn titled In Christ Alone.
Be seated. the community prayer. This morning, we celebrate the history-altering event of Jesus' resurrection. Thank you for holding the keys of our death, that by your might, you were raised from the grave, paving the way for us to have new life with you. Bless all those worshiping today. Thank you for the blessings of our individual and collective God-given gifts. Place in our hearts the desire to make a difference to our families, to our community, to our country, and worldwide. Give us peace in times of distraction and uncertainty. Thank you for food in a world where many know only hunger, for our faith in a world where many know fear, for friends in a world where many know only loneliness. Shine your light in us, through us, and over us. May we make a difference in this world for your glory and purposes. May we reflect your peace and hope to a world that so desperately needs your presence and healing. Now, please join me in the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning, we will not pass the offering plates, but there is a basket in the back for you to put whichever offerings you wish to offer. And again, that offering will go for ministry of the member care team, which will care for the needs in this congregation. So if you wish to place an offering in the back, there will be baskets available. Likewise, please remember to sign the friendship pads this morning. We would love to know who is here with us. And so if you would take a few moments to do that, we would appreciate it. Thank you. Friends, go in peace and joy, knowing that our Savior is risen and that we can face tomorrow and whatever comes because the Lord walks with us every step of the way. And he calls us to look alive because he invites us into his very life. Go in peace and joy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.